Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll tell you, it's good to be here, and I told John I wouldn't have a lapel mic, so I've got to stay in this area. He won't be able to hear me, so I'll concentrate on that. It is good to be here. It's always good to come back and fellowship with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and to come back where you worship and fellowship for so long. It is good to be back. With visiting, though, I don't have any verses or anything on the screen, so we're going to have to use our Bibles a lot today, and we will be flipping back and forth. And if you want to, we're going to start in the book of Proverbs. So you can turn to Proverbs chapter 1, and I'll join you there in just a moment. I always like to start out with something to introduce the topic or the lesson, and I came across this little story, and maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't, but if you have heard of it, just at the end laugh and pretend like you haven't heard it before. There was a young man who was searching for the secret of wisdom. And he had heard that there was a guru high in the Himalayan mountains who knew the secret to wisdom. And so he set off to find this guru, and going through much hardship, he finally found this guru high in the mountains, and he was sitting in the lotus position. And so he went up to him and he cried. He said, "Tell me, O master, what is the secret of wisdom?" And the master replied, "Good judgment. Good judgment." "But how do you get good judgment?" asked the young man. And the master replied, "Experience." "But how do you get experience?" the young man persisted. "Ah," said the master, "bad judgment. Bad judgment." You know, in a story like this, you know, you may be thinking of a person in Scripture who asked for wisdom. And he didn't ask for power. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for personal things. He simply asked for wisdom from the only power that could give it to him. And this man was Solomon. And, you know, Solomon wrote a good chunk of the Proverbs. And we get insight into a man who asked and received wisdom from God as he writes the book of Proverbs. And so we get this insight into this man who had this majestic, godly wisdom. And as we read, we're going to go through a couple different passages here in Proverbs and bounce around in Scripture a lot. But as we're going through this, I want you to ask yourself the question, how do we get wisdom? How do we get wisdom? And how do we gain wisdom? How do we gain access to the godly wisdom that Solomon had? Because Solomon asked for wisdom and he received it. And I don't know about you, I've asked God for many things and didn't get it. So how do we gain wisdom from something that we can't see? We're going to start with Proverbs in chapter 1. We're going to see if we can find answers in the Scripture that God's given us. I'm going to start in Proverbs chapter 1 on verse 7. And it says this, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And likewise, you don't have to turn to it, but Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And so what we can see here is the fear of the Lord is the stepping stone, is the beginning of this wisdom that we're supposed to have. Whatever wisdom is, however we're supposed to get it, Solomon says it's the fear of the Lord that gets us there first. And so then we have to ask ourselves, well, what is this fear of the Lord? What is it? Well, and it can mean a lot of things. And I've researched, I'm kind of a nerd myself, and I've researched the Hebrew word and traced it all the way back to its roots. And it can mean, this word for fear can mean a lot of different things. As I've been taught throughout the years, it's a reverence, it's a respect for God Almighty, and it can have that reference to it. But it can also mean to be afraid or terrified of something. And so whatever it means, whatever you think it means, it has to be not just the source, but the stepping stone into gaining access to this wisdom. The secret, if you will, to gaining this wisdom. And so then the question becomes, well then how do we fear the Lord? How do we fear the Lord and how do we understand it? And luckily for us, God answers that question for us. We don't have to wonder about that. If you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 2, probably just have to flip the page. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. God gives us this answer as to how do we understand what the fear of the Lord is. He answers that for us. So starting in chapter 2 and verse 1 of Proverbs, he says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure," he says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So Solomon tells us that if we do these things that he just listed, we're going to understand what the fear of the Lord is. So what are these things that Solomon has just told us what to do? Well, there's three things that I could find in this passage, three major things that he's telling us to do. The first one is to accept the teachings and the words of truth. It's to accept this. It's to accept and believe that what you're reading is true. Because he tells his son to accept my words and store up my commands. To accept God's teaching. Jesus in Luke chapter 11 verse 28. He says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Anyone can hear the word of God. But Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hear it and keep it." That's accepting the word. Solomon also says that we have to ask God for wisdom and understanding. And we have a great example of that in Solomon. Solomon asked God for wisdom, and he got it. There's a great passage in James that I kind of ran through. It's James chapter 1. Verses 5 through 8. I've heard this many times, but for some reason I kept reading this passage, and it kind of opened my eyes just a little bit. James chapter 1 and verse 5. We hear it quoted a lot. And James says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." And that's kind of where we stop. Well, let's just focus on this first part. If any of you lacks wisdom, if we lack this understanding, if we want to gain this wisdom, what's the answer? Let him ask God. Ask the only one who can give it to you. And God gives generously and you will receive it. But here's the catch. And here's the part that I probably read 1,000 times and never thought about it. There's a but here. James says, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." You see, I think Solomon had faith in God. I think Solomon knew that when he asked God for the wisdom and the understanding to lead his people, he was going to get it. And I think maybe sometimes when I ask for things, maybe I don't believe that I'm actually going to get it. And I think maybe that's why sometimes it doesn't happen, because I'm not asking in faith. There's some doubt. But James tells us we have to ask in faith without any doubting. And the third thing that Solomon tells us here in Proverbs chapter 2 is to seek out this wisdom. We have to look for it as for hidden treasure. And so if we accept the teachings of God, and we ask God for this wisdom in faith without doubting, and we seek it out. We're looking for it. We're listening for it. What do we find? What are we supposed to understand about that? Solomon tells us if we do those things, we're going to understand it. So what is it that we're going to understand? What is it that we're going to find? What is the fear of the Lord? Well, God is good, and he answers that question for us too. We don't have to wonder. And the answer lies in Proverbs chapter 8. Just a couple more passages down. Proverbs chapter 8. Starting in verse 12. I'm going to start in verse 12. It says, I, wisdom. Now it's here the wisdom of God is speaking, being personified here. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. And here's our secret to the fear of the Lord. Verse 13. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. And wisdom here is saying, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. So Solomon gets this, and he says, to fear the Lord, it's to hate evil. It's to reject the offenses that are taking place in the world against God. In another wisdom book, Job 28, I think we can always remember this from Job 28:28. It says, and he said to the human race, Job is speaking of God here, and he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. So God here connects the fear of the Lord and wisdom together. And so by fearing the Lord, we reject and despise the evil that's taking place in our own lives and in the communities in which we live. And so you may be asking, well, what's an example of that? How do we reject the evil that's going on? You know, well, I can't control what's going on around me in the community and in the world. So how do I do that? Well, I came across this great passage in the book of Haggai. The prophet of Haggai. And you can turn there. We're going to be there for just a little bit. Haggai chapter 1. It's not a prophet we turn to very much, and your pages may even stick together when you turn there. We don't go to it that often. But this, I think, gives us an example of what rejecting evil means and what fearing the Lord looks like in an actual real life situation. You know, the prophet Haggai, he encountered a lot of evil in his day from God's people. Haggai chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 5. It says, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. So already God's telling them, just look at what you're doing. He says, you have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. And so here what God's telling them is their work is fruitless. Everything they do is completely pointless. They eat, they drink, they're not satisfied. They plant, but they don't reap hardly anything. And then the Lord gives them the answer as to why these things are happening. They're suffering. And God's going to tell them why. Starting in verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. There it is again. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be so little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, and here's their answer, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. See, part of the remnant had returned to Jerusalem, and the temple of the Lord had not yet been rebuilt. They had left it in the heap that was destroyed. But their houses, they had rebuilt their houses. They were beautiful. And God tells them they are so busy with their own ways and with their own lives, and they're too selfish that they haven't thought about their God. And see, the temple wasn't built, which meant they weren't worshiping Him. They didn't meet together in the temple like they used to worship Him. They were not offering sacrifices and offering praise like they used to. They had forgotten God. They had totally forgotten about God and were just focused on themselves. But as always, there's always hope. And in verse 12, we find that hope. It says, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God." I would highlight that, if you highlight in your Bibles, because that phrase doesn't come up too often, especially when talking about God's people, that they obeyed the voice of the Lord. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet of Haggai that we just read, because the Lord their God had sent them. And here it is, "And the people feared the Lord." They feared the Lord. They saw what was happening. They didn't have anything to eat. They hardly had anything to drink. They weren't harvesting anything. And when Haggai spoke of that temple over there that's still in ruins, and they look at their own houses, and they're all built up, then they realized what they had done. And they feared the Lord. And that's the same word that's used in the book of Proverbs of fearing the Lord. The same word. And then in verse 13, "Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people." I just like quoting this part, "I am with you, declares the Lord. I am with you." Now that they had turned from their evil ways and they were now obeying the voice of the Lord, they feared the Lord. Now God says, "Now I'm with you. I'm with you now." And they feared the Lord and they obeyed Him. And this is a powerful statement, that now that they obeyed God, now that they were fearing Him, now He was with them. It all comes together. And so how are we supposed to fear the Lord, just as these people did, and despise evil where it is so accepted in a world as of today? How are we supposed to do that? Because I don't think a priest can come to this nation and just rally everyone together and you know, rebuild the temple for the Lord, so to speak, and get everyone back on track. So how are we supposed to do that as a small people in a small community? Well, I think the answer is only through Jesus and the Spirit can that be done. There's a verse in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7 talking about Jesus. And Paul says, "In whom," speaking of Jesus, "in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." I don't know who the man in our story, who the guru was that he found, but I don't think it was Jesus. But see, in Jesus, the treasures of wisdom, that's where they're found, in Jesus. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better." You see, we gain access to God's wisdom through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. And so we have to accept God's word, just like the people in Haggai's day did. They accepted, they obeyed. They asked God for wisdom. We have to ask God for wisdom without doubting. And by doing so, we're going to understand that the fear of the Lord is despising evil, staying on the right path, and allowing God's wisdom into our lives. And if we do that, it'll happen through Jesus who died for us and the Spirit that lives in us. And so maybe today you may be wondering, well, I really need God's wisdom. I'm in a situation now where I don't know where to turn. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the correct answer is. And you need wisdom. You need God's wisdom and God's understanding to know what to do. To know how to handle the situation, to know how to react, to know the decision to make. I think we all come to that point in our lives at least once. And if that's you, maybe by following the words of Solomon and by asking God for this wisdom and to allow the Spirit to reveal that wisdom for you, I think maybe then we're going to find the answer. And by fearing the Lord, we're going to allow wisdom into our hearts. So if you have a need today, if you need prayer, you want to give praise and thanksgiving, we can do that. And we can do that with you. We can pray with you and for you. And we're going to do that at this time as we stand and as we sing the song. Jesus.